Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. The Pentagon just moments ago on what's flying over the U.S. The suspected Chinese surveillance balloon, the size of three buses, hovering over the northern U.S. The giant balloon unmanned, carrying what's believed to be sophisticated spy technology. And we have now learned tonight, U.S. officials tracking it for several days, spotted over Billings, Montana. Montana, where there are several sensitive nuclear sites. So where is it now? Military officials also discussing whether to shoot it down, but did not do so because of the risk to people on the ground. Terry Moran standing by with late reporting. Also tonight, that dangerous Arctic blast, 58 million Americans, multiple states, wind chill alerts from Montana straight across to Maine. Life-threatening cold already moving into the Midwest, the Northeast bracing for wind chills in some places 50 below zero. Rob Marciano with the late forecast. Was a potential mass shooting plot in Hollywood foiled by the LAPD? Tonight, the suspect in custody and what they found in his 18th floor apartment over Sunset Boulevard. An arsenal of loaded weapons, high-powered scopes, Matt Gupman reporting. The New Jersey councilwoman, a rising star, just 30 years old, shot and killed in her car. That community in shock tonight, police now appealing to the public for help. On the Hill tonight, the vote in the House, the GOP majority, removing Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. The congresswoman and her speech today and what she said this was really about. Rachel Scott, live on the Hill. A dramatic day of testimony in the Alec Murdoch trial. The defense grilling authorities about what they found or didn't find the day after the murders. And prosecutors on a piece of video from the same day of the murders. And the question they say it now raises. Eva Pilgrim reporting. The war in Ukraine tonight and Vladimir Putin's new nuclear threat. And Robin Roberts tonight from New Zealand. The beauty and the warning about climate and what's changing already.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Thursday night. And we begin tonight with the breaking headline late today. The Pentagon briefing reporters just before we came on the air saying they are now tracking a suspected Chinese spy balloon hovering over the northern U.S. It was spotted over Montana and other northern states. Montana, of course, home to several sensitive nuclear sites. Now, we are told the suspected Chinese surveillance balloon is the size of three buses with a technology bay suspended below. And for a time in Montana, air traffic control imposing a ground stop at the Billings Airport in the last 24 hours. And look at this tonight, the contrails from F-22 seen in the sky as they circled an area where the balloon was spotted southwest of the city. Tonight, a senior defense official saying President Biden was briefed, that he asked for military options. So this evening, what next? And is there any possible threat here? ABC's Terry Moran leading us off from the White House tonight.
Tonight, a senior defense official says authorities are tracking a giant Chinese spy balloon that has been hovering over the northern U.S. for several days.
The United States government has detected and is tracking a high-altitude surveillance balloon that is over the continental United States right now.
Sources tell ABC News the unmanned high-altitude balloon is the size of three buses with a technology bay underneath. Officials say President Biden asked for military options but decided to follow the recommendation of senior military leaders not to shoot the balloon down due to safety risks for people on the ground. That balloon spotted over Montana, forcing a temporary ground stop Wednesday at the airport in Billings. That ground stop covering a 50-mile radius. No flights, including commercial air traffic, were allowed to land or take off for at least an hour. Montana is home to several sensitive nuclear weapon sites. The U.S. moved quickly to shield them.
Once the balloon was detected, the U.S. government acted immediately to protect against the collection of sensitive information.
Well, this is really something. Let's get right to Terry Moran. He's live at the White House tonight. Terry, we know the Pentagon briefing reporters just before we came on tonight. So what are they saying about any potential threat here? No threat to civilians, and has the U.S. Reached out to China?
That's right, David. The Pentagon does say that they have been tracking this balloon, that it does not pose a threat to civilians. They also say it's not the first time, that a handful of other times over several years, dating back to previous administrations, they've seen balloons like this. They say they do not think it poses an intelligence risk, and they have communicated to China that this cannot continue. David?
Still unsettling. Terry Moran leading us off tonight. Terry, thank you. We're going to turn next, meanwhile, tonight to the dangerous cold moving in. Wind chills in the Northeast are reaching 50 below zero in the coming days. 58 million Americans in the path of this brutal and life-threatening cold, they're saying, from Montana to Maine. Already hitting the Midwest tonight, moving east, while in the South, look at this, nearly 500,000 homes and businesses still without power after trees and power lines came down in this ice storm lasting for days now. Snow moving north today in Wise, Virginia. Tonight, Boston already declaring an emergency and opening warming centers. Senior meteorologist Rob Marciano on the ice tonight and the cold moving in.
Tonight, the sound of heavy equipment and chainsaws piercing the air north of Austin. A race to clean up a tangled mess of ice-covered trees and power lines, limbs snapping after days of ice and sleet.
We are experiencing one of the most widespread ice storms to hit Austin, and certainly one of the worst.
Hundreds of thousands in the dark across the storm zone are Alex Prochet, south of Little Rock, Arkansas, with crews restoring power and facing multiple challenges.
Slick roads and the terrain and ice, you know, tree limbs falling out of the trees.
As the system pushes east, it's pulling down the coldest air of the season so far. Boston declaring a cold emergency, closing schools and opening warming centers.
By sunset tomorrow, it is down into the single digits and the wind is going to be howling.
That wind will make it feel like more than 50 below in spots. New Hampshire's governor warning families need to take this seriously.
At negative 30 degrees, hypothermia can set in just 10 minutes. And we know it's going to be even colder than that across the entire state.
The governor there in New Hampshire, of course, authorities in Boston warning of this as well. Rob with us tonight on this very serious cold moving in. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. This is indeed life-threatening cold coming out of Quebec and Ontario right now. The actual front is pushing across the border. You see it here. It's kind of being dragged along by that wave of rain that brought all that icing to the south. That's finally moving off into the Atlantic. A little bit of a snow squall tonight. Might see an inch of snow, but blizzard warnings up for northern Maine, not because of heavy snow, but blowing snow. The sub-zero stuff is going to turn that snow into a fine dust and be blinding at times. All right. Saturday morning, widespread cold all the way from Albany back through Indianapolis, back through Omaha. But it's Saturday morning where the real cold stuff comes in. 60 below, that'd be an all-time record in Caribou. But we're looking at -9 for a wind chill in New York, -34 in Boston, 36 below in Burlington. That will give you frostbite in less than 10 minutes. Stay inside if you can, or cover up if you have to go out. David?
Yeah, take this for seriously for sure. Rob Marciano, we appreciate it. Next tonight, here to a potential plot thwarted. Authorities say it might have been a plan for a mass shooting in Hollywood, an arsenal in an 18th floor apartment over Sunset Boulevard, thwarted by Los Angeles police. They were called to this Hollywood high-rise about a man making serious threats. And inside his apartment, they found multiple weapons, high-powered scopes, and more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. Some of those weapons were loaded and by a window. A suspect is now in custody tonight, an Army veteran, and here's our chief national correspondent, Matt Gutman, in L.A.
Tonight, a potential mass shooting plot in the heart of Hollywood foiled. The LAPD uncovering this arsenal in a high-rise, saying the rifles were loaded and by a window.
I believe that something tragic here was certainly averted.
Officers responding to this building on the famed Sunset Boulevard around 10 a.m. Tuesday after police say they got a call about a man threatening residents and security and possibly having a mental health breakdown. Authorities identifying the suspect as 24-year-old Braxton Kyle Johnson, who spent 4 years in the Army infantry, officers getting a search warrant and then serving it when Johnson was out. What authorities say they found inside the 18th floor apartment, chilling.
When they first went into the apartment in plain view, they observed three rifles and a shotgun laid out on the floor.
As if prepared for something, yes. At least some of the weapons neither registered nor legal in the state of California. Also in that arsenal, police say high-powered scopes putting in range targets hundreds of yards away, including the street below and a dog park.
David, authorities telling me the suspect had just recently moved into that building. They're also saying they're trying to trace his guns, also looking into possible previous arrests in other states. Now, they have found no manifesto, no writings indicating his intent, but just now in court, his first appearance, the suspect pleading not guilty. David.
All right, Matt Gutman tonight. Thank you, Matt. Back in the East this evening into the shocking murder of a New Jersey councilwoman, an apparent targeted attack. The 30-year-old wife and mother shot dead while sitting in her car just feet from her home. Tonight, the FBI is now involved, and here's our investigative reporter, Aaron Katursky, tonight.
Tonight, a desperate search in New Jersey for whoever shot dead a young councilwoman in an apparently targeted burst of gunfire that has horrified the state.
It's just a shocking, shocking development.
30-year-old Eunice Jumfor, a rising star in local Republican politics, is the first sitting elected official to be shot and killed in New Jersey in recent memory.
Eunice K. Jumfor.
Jumfor, who had only recently taken office, was discovered dead Wednesday night in her SUV of multiple gunshot wounds, shot while sitting behind the wheel. Law enforcement sources told ABC News she had just dropped someone off at her home and was heading out when the gunman approached on foot.
I heard boom, 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 and I'm like, oh, shoot, that is a gunfire.
Authorities saying more than 10 gunshots were fired. Jumfor was recently married and had a daughter, her death stunning neighbors.
I was so shocked when I found that it was her, and it broke my heart because she's really kind.
Police have said nothing about a motive, and they have made no arrests. The mayor said the community is shocked and saddened and called Jumfor a dedicated member of the borough council committed to public service.
Jumfor was new to this community, David, but already known as a really nice person. And tonight, police are appealing to her constituents for help solving this. We just spoke to Middlesex County Prosecutor Yolanda Saccone. She told us, David, that right now it appears the councilwoman's politics played no role in her killing. David?
All right, Aaron Katursky tonight. Thank you, Aaron. We're going to turn now to Capitol Hill tonight, where House Republicans have ousted Democrat Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee, citing repeated anti-Semitic and anti-American remarks. She has apologized for those remarks in the past. She delivered her own remarks today and what she said this is really about. Here's our senior congressional correspondent, Rachel Scott, on the Hill tonight.
Tonight, House Republicans voting to kick Congresswoman Ilhan Omar off the House Foreign Affairs Committee for anti-Semitic remarks she made several years ago, for which she has apologized.
Is anyone surprised that I am being targeted? There is this idea that you are a suspect if you are an immigrant, or if you are from certain parts of the world, or a certain skin tone, or a Muslim.
But House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says the Congresswoman needs to be held accountable for her words. Among them, her suggestion that American supporters of Israel were buying political support, tweeting, "It's all about the Benjamins, baby."
We just do not believe when it comes to foreign affairs, especially the responsibility of that position around the world with the comments that you make. She shouldn't serve there.
Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries acknowledges Omar has made mistakes, but insists today's vote was nothing more than a political stunt.
It's not about accountability. It's about political revenge.
Democrats say it's pure retaliation for their decision to boot two Republicans from committees when they controlled Congress. Marjorie Taylor Greene for her own history of embracing conspiracy theories, including anti-Semitic ones. And Paul Gosar for posting an animated video in which he kills a Democratic colleague.
It's a double, triple, quadruple, and beyond standard.
Tonight, McCarthy insists today's move is, quote, not tit for tat.
So let's bring in Rachel Scott. She's live up on the Hill tonight. And Rachel, this was a straight party line vote here.
Yes, David, every single Republican but one voted for that resolution. One Republican decided to vote present. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy making it clear that Omar can still serve on other committees, just not foreign affairs. David.
All right. Rachel Scott, who covers Congress for us every night. Thank you, Rachel. The FBI is reportedly preparing to search the home of former Vice President Mike Pence, where classified documents were found. Sources tell ABC News the Department of Justice is working with Pence's legal team to schedule the potential next search. It was his legal team that discovered the documents initially, saying they were, quote, inadvertently boxed and brought there, and they intend to comply fully with the DOJ review. We turn now to that dramatic new testimony in the trial of the once prominent South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch, accused of murdering his wife and son. The defense today grilled an investigator on what she did and did not find at the house the day after the murders. And new questions tonight the prosecution raising about a piece of video from the same day of the murders. Here's Eva Pilgrim.
Tonight, the defense team for Alec Murdoch pressing a state investigator to acknowledge what she didn't find when she searched the Murdoch home the day after Paul and Maggie Murdoch were shot to death at their dog kennel on the family property.
And you're telling this jury you saw no evidence of blood, tissue,
or anything that would indicate somebody had showered or washed off or bathed to remove evidence of a crime from them. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, sir. There was nothing visible to me.
Investigators had a search warrant but didn't execute it. Instead, they were escorted around the property by the family's lawyer and one of Murdoch's brothers.
Multiple family close friends were at the house.
You didn't want to have to ask all those people to leave?
Some of them were very upset.
It comes after this newly released Snapchat video.
Better than it was, ain't it?
Shows Alec Murdoch planting trees on the property on the same day as the murders, wearing a different outfit than the clean white shirt and shorts he's wearing when police arrive later at the grisly scene. Murdoch telling them he touched the bodies before calling for help.
And I ran over to Maggie. And actually, I think I tried to turn Paul over first.
Did you touch Maggie at all?
I did. I touched them both.
Okay.
Tonight, the judge is weighing whether jurors will hear evidence about Alec Murdoch's alleged financial crimes as a potential motive. With the jury out of the room, the CFO for his law firm describing how Murdoch allegedly stole millions of dollars from his clients and law partners. She says she confronted him the day of the murders.
He turned and looked at me when I came up and said, "What do you need now?" And gave me a very dirty look. I told him that I had reason to believe that he had received the funds himself and that I needed proof that he had not.
And that moment jurors didn't see today could be very significant if the judge allows it to be presented to the jury. Prosecutors have said that Murdoch killed his wife and son as a way to gain sympathy and distract from financial crimes that were about to be exposed. David.
All right, Eva, our thanks to you again tonight. And when we come back here, Vladimir Putin's new nuclear threat tonight, what he said. And then later here, the NFL owner who is asking Tom Brady to come back. Is this really possible? And Robin Roberts takes us to New Zealand tonight.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon slash spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an eight-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We turn tonight to the war in Ukraine. Vladimir Putin with a new veiled threat to use nuclear weapons, warning that war with Russia won't be limited to fighting with tanks. Russian missiles, meanwhile, targeting apartment buildings overnight in the eastern city of Kramatorsk, killing at least three civilians, wounding 20 others. President Zelensky saying he thinks Russia's new offensive may have already begun. Back here in the U.S. tonight, the attorney for the former principal of a Virginia school where that six-year-old shot his teacher says the principal was not aware of warnings that the child might have a gun. The lawyer says Brianna Foster Newton has received death threats since the shooting last month at Richneck Elementary. The district says she is still employed, but no longer the principal. The teacher, Abigail Zwirner, is still recovering at home. Her lawyer says she plans to sue the district.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
To the index of other news tonight, and this is definitely a long shot, but the Patriots' longtime owner Bob Kraft with an offer for now retired quarterback Tom Brady. Kraft wants Brady to re-sign with his old team for one day so that he can retire as a Patriot. Brady started his career with New England, of course, spending 19 years there and where he won 6 of his 7 Super Bowls. Tom Brady has other plans, though, signing a $375 million contract with Fox Sports. There's speculation already his first time contributing as an analyst could be this year's Super Bowl. Stay tuned. And did the groundhog see its shadow? Today was the day Punxsutawney Phil saw his shadow, which, as the story goes, means 6 more weeks of winter. Turns out Phil has only been right, though, about 40% of the time in the past decade. Ginger and Rob have a much better record.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Finally tonight here, ABC News and our reporting on climate. Robin Roberts taking us to New Zealand for the wonder of it all and the warning about what's changing already.
To get an up-close look at New Zealand's spectacular yet vanishing glaciers.
So this is the bird we're going up in.
Certainly is.
We suited up for a bird's eye view, taking off to witness the dangerously thin ice and out of this world experience.
Here we go.
Soaking in the majestic mountains.
So untouched, just so natural.
Crystal blue lakes.
Oh my goodness.
And breathtaking waterfalls.
Wow.
Our larger-than-life trek revealing the impact of a changing climate. Glacier pilot Michael Clark.
It looks like a waterfall, but that's actually ice all falling off the cliffs and smashing. And so you can see them just disappearing right before our eyes.
Behind the stunning landscape lie cracks and crevices, the ice melting at a record rate.
I can tell you I've watched glaciers completely disappear throughout my career.
Over 6,000 feet above sea level, it was time to experience the glacier's conditions firsthand.
Wow.
Thank you, paradise.
Thank you, Michael. Are you kidding me? Nice office you got here.
It's a pretty good office.
Oh my gosh. I am on a glacier.
You are. And it's quite soft, even for this time of the morning. Look at that.
Yes.
Just a little bit after 9 a.m. And it's warm.
Why is it important to you that people know what's going on here?
Well, they are disappearing quickly. I bring tourists from all around the world to appreciate and look at these beautiful glaciers. But once they're gone, obviously, we won't be able to do that anymore.
Bright sun, soft ice, and extraordinary views on top of the ice.
Stunning and really important. Robin from New Zealand again tomorrow, first thing on GMA. I'll see you tomorrow night. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag and you felt
the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.